Resource alert. Parents, are you looking for practical information that you can apply today with your children that are constantly on social media and digital devices? Look, or rather, listen no further. Our book, A Parent's Guide, Keeping Your Children Safe in a Chaotic Digital World, is now on Audible. Need to learn more about media literacy? We have you covered. Want to learn how to better support your children regarding cyberbullying? Check. How about the warning signs of mental health challenges stemming from social media? Say less. And I haven't even mentioned the social media contract and the most common ways of parental tracking for devices. Listen on Audible today or pick up a hard copy on Amazon. A Parent's Guide, Keeping Your Children Safe in a Chaotic Digital World.
There's definitely more. I see some of the negatives that come from it, which is, especially if it's not well monitored. And that seeps into the school for sure. If they were talking and texting the night before and then some, you know, it wasn't resolved and now they show up, into the classroom with that and they're bringing it with them. So that's definitely happens a lot more.
It's a brand new day.
Student needs continue to evolve, and having an advocate and someone they can speak with openly is critical, beginning at an early age. So for us to have the unique perspective of an elementary school counselor and a parent join the show is a huge privilege. We would like to welcome Jen to the show. Thank you for being here.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. We're going to start pretty basic. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and your career journey.
Sure. Well, I've been a school counselor for an elementary school counselor for 15 years now. I'm going into my 16th. So my undergrad was in social work, but I primarily have just been as an elementary school counselor. So have the privilege of working with kids sort of in the very beginning stages of their education career. And I love it. I love kind of being a part of the early intervention of all the things. And then I'm also a mom. So I have two young adult children now. They're 19 and 21. So definitely in a new phase of life with them being as old as they are and kind of figuring out what that looks like in the parent world is something new for us.
Yes, it's hard to believe they're that age already. I know. It goes fast.
I know. It's crazy. It's so crazy.
Well, Jen, we'd like to get to know our guest in a way, since this is tied to social media and digital devices. We like to know how our guests interact on social media and digital platforms. How do you generally interact both personally and professionally?
Sure. So personally, I mean, I'm just probably just like a pretty average person when it comes to social media. I definitely like have a lot of the various platforms. For me, it's really just like sharing pictures, connecting with like friends and family. I'm not one to share a ton on social media, but I do look at it. Like I like seeing people's things. I'm probably one of those like lurkers more than posters. professionally, in my role as a school counselor, I use different platforms, like digital platforms, when I'm like working with kids in a group or like in the classroom setting. But I also in the last couple of years have gotten to, I guess it's a privilege to be, I kind of run our school's social media, like our Facebook account now. So I've entered the world of content creation when it comes to that. Definitely not an expert at it, by any means, but it has kind of been a fun part of my job to kind of just engage with families a little differently or trying to. Have really post COVID have tried to think of different ways to like include families who maybe can't get to our school for events and stuff like that. So that's kind of the main ways I use it professionally.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm sure families love seeing what's going on at the school and with the students. So that's really cool you do that.
We have so many families. Yeah. When we have tons of families that just, work or, don't have transportation and can't always get there for parties or events. So it's been kind of fun. We try to like go live more and just show the inside stuff a little bit more.
Very cool. Thinking of positives, what are some ways you have seen social media and digital platforms work well with students at the elementary level in the schools?
It's definitely an engaging way to help kids learn. I mean, kids, as you know, and I'm sure we'll talk more about, like, you know, they love being engaged with technology. And there are lots of really cool platforms and, you know, websites and just different ways to do that, whether, you know, just for learning, whether it's playing different games or using Google Classroom. It's also a great way to kind of communicate with, like, home and school and to bridge some of those gaps. I mean, I think we learned a lot through COVID with that when we were kind of forced into a lot of it. But there's some really good things that came away from that about how we communicate and how we engage kids so their learning can be used at home as well. I mean, some of the, at least for our older kids, you know, some of the, like, fun, silly things that social media brings, the songs, the dances. I mean, it's a fun way for teachers and kids to connect and have fun at school too. So that those are definitely all been positives that we've seen.
That's very cool. And thinking about technology in elementary schools, is it really more about the Chromebooks? I don't want to make assumptions that, let's say, maybe fourth or fifth graders are bringing devices to school. Maybe we're seeing that more and more, but I'm just curious what that looks like these days.
Yeah, so they all, at my school and our school district, they all do have Chromebooks. They're one-to-one. And so our younger kids leave them at school. The older kids get to bring them home for, you know, homework or just, you know, things that they're doing, projects and stuff. We definitely have a lot of kids who have personal devices, but we do have a zero tolerance where they're not supposed to have them out at school. Except there's exceptions, like if they have electronics parties, sometimes they earn things like that where they get to then play games on their phones or something. But it's really supposed to be school, school appropriate things on their Chromebooks. But I would say more and more kids have them, definitely. A lot of parents want their kids to have them if they travel home on the bus, or they're maybe, you know, some of them might be home by themselves for a little bit or something. So that's definitely, it's more and more frequent, fourth and fifth graders for sure, but I mean, definitely even younger than that at cases.
And that's interesting. And it makes sense. I mean, that's somewhat of peace of mind, right? If you need to connect with them, track them as a parent, there's some monitoring opportunities and capabilities that exist. So that definitely tracks. As far as the students engaging, is there a lot of peer-to-peer interaction on any of the devices, whether it's the Chromebook, or do you see a lot of that interaction happening coming back into the school through personal devices?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Okay. So that would definitely fall into the category of a not so great. That has become a definitely a bigger part of my job that is, you know, newer, and definitely with our administration as well. You know, and some of it's positive. Some of them are making play dates and just, hey, let's go play outside, or, you know, just talking or playing games together. You know, there's lots of games that are developmentally appropriate where they can talk with each other or interact, and that's, you know, fine with their parents' permission. But there's definitely more, I see some of the negatives that come from it, which is, especially if it's not well monitored, and that seeps into the school for sure. If they were talking and texting the night before, and then some, you know, it wasn't resolved, and now they show up, you know, into the classroom with that, and they're bringing it with them. So that's definitely happens a lot more.
So I'm sure with that, you see some of that, like, cyberbullying, mental health misuse. As a school counselor in this age, are you provided with more training and resources or procedures when it comes to social media and digital devices now that it is around more?
Not a ton. I mean, I was in school 15 years ago. It definitely wasn't a part of my training then. I'm lucky in the district I'm in that we have professional development, like, and really great opportunities. And we really, as the counselors in the district, we do get a say a lot of times. And, like, these are topics that we would love to learn more about or get resources on. And I don't want to say we've never received any, but we definitely have had some experts in. A lot of them end up being, you know, like a psychologist or a therapist or doctor that talk a lot about, like, brain development and more about like the impact that technology is having on kids. I wouldn't say we've received a ton in regards to like how to support kids in this world. And that's definitely something that, as I was reflecting on this, doing this today, that I think is a gap that needs to happen. You know, the adults, parents and educators, like, we're kind of winging it. And so yes, it's, you know, it is tricky to make sure we're, you know, supporting kids in the right way, giving them the right tools, but it's hard when, you know, adults are still kind of learning all this too, you know?
Well, and I think sometimes we don't know what new apps are out there or what new games are out there. So when they're coming to us, we're like, I don't even know about that. I don't even know what that is.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. I mean, right now in my job, feel really lucky to have the kids, my personal children, the age that they are, because my son is like super techie. So I truly will call him or come home and be like, okay, do you know anything about this? Can you tell me about this website? Can you tell me about this app? These kids are talking about this. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. Which makes me feel like a dinosaur when I'm like, you know, but I mean, you have to tap into your resources, and some, it is to some of the, you know, the young adults that can, help us. And so, yeah, it is tricky. It's ever changing for sure. You know, it's like Facebook is for old people now, and, you know, the kids don't care about that. And like, right. Keeping up with it is definitely part of the challenge for sure.
Well said, it, but it's great that you have a digital advisor. So
yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's from the counselor perspective that we were just discussing, but from the student perspective or the student population, it seems like we hear a lot about digital citizenship programs or, you know, little things that exist out there. Do you know of anything that exists at the school to help kind of position children for success when it comes to digital media? And again, that's from the school's perspective, right? The parents need to have preventions in a different fashion or manner, right?
Sure. Yeah. So we, and in my district, our like counseling curriculum, like elementary level, we are, you know, we push in and we do lessons in the classroom, and we kind of write our curriculum collaboratively. And we do make sure that at every grade level, there's something about digital citizenship that looks very different and as a kindergartner that it would as a fifth grader, of course. So that has definitely become part of our curriculum. That's kind of like guaranteed. But outside of that, we do, there's a few community resources that we have come in and do presentations that are really good and really helpful. I don't know that every school does that, but we have the option to do it. We have one that's the Jewish Family Services that comes in, and they kind of do lessons on, they do like safe touch, but then they also do like internet safety, about really kind of geared towards like not talking to strangers online, don't share your personal information, like that sort of stuff. I do think that when I talked about there being a gap before, it is hard for parents. I think schools have some of those resources, and there's not a ton for parents in that realm that I find outside of them reaching out to their schools and asking for, you know, support.
Yeah, that is what we keep hearing over and over, just support for parents or parents having the resources and tools. Because I mean, really, it starts at home. The school is kind of a secondary resource or enforcement in this regard. But I think the school's at a defensive position regarding this topic, you know.
For sure. Yeah. And I think we see it at least, you know, as a partnership. And it's like, we're, you know, like I said, we're kind of, it's new to a lot of us. So we're trying to kind of figure it out together. And especially when the schools are providing devices to kids, like I do think there's a responsibility on our end to partner with families and provide whatever tools and resources we can to make their lives a little bit easier at home. I mean, we've had families who have just said, I don't want the Chromebook coming home. Like they can do their homework in the morning, you know, we'll figure out something else, but like, this isn't working for my child, you know, and we support that. We've had, you know, I think it just kind of depends on the family and the kid too. You have to be willing to just work with them. But I do think it's a it's a struggle for sure.
Yeah. And I really appreciate how much you really try to connect with the families and do what they need. That is very clear from your responses. So, and when you're thinking about social media and digital devices and all the things that we've talked about with your specific population, K to five, what advice do you feel like you share most often with kids or with families?
I mean, with kids, my messaging to them at this age is really, yes, the safety piece of it. I mean, I think that's something that parents are like really good at sharing, like don't share your, you know, address, don't give out your personal information. I feel like kids get that sort of drilled into them. But the part that I really try to think about and share, and maybe this is because it came up a lot with my kids too, and that's why I think about it, but it's just kind of like that digital footprint that like, it doesn't go away. Like what you say now as a 10-year-old, like could come back up when you're 16 or 18 and you're trying to get a job or, you know, and so we're just, you know, screenshots and you might think you deleted something, but it's still really there. And just kind of like having discussions with them about that and just like about their reputation, about how it's important to think about what you put out there because it sticks with you. I mean, we see that with adults, certainly, where things come back up, you know, old tweets come and get these celebrities and stuff like that. And so, I mean, I'll use examples like that with kids, just trying to make them be a little more thoughtful about it and just a little more aware that, you know, and they see it. There's been examples of like chats between kids that one kid deleted on his phone. Well, that doesn't mean it's gone because, right, you know, this other child brings it in and shows me, and now your teacher and your counselor like know that you said these things and, you know, and your parents, of course. And so that's definitely, I feel like, one of the messages that I try to get across to kids because they're just pretty impulsive with their, mm-hmm. you know, what they do in the digital world for sure.
Yes, that's great advice. And you're right, the impulsivity of, in that moment, you're not thinking about the consequences 5 years down the road. So great advice.
For sure. I mean, adults do that. So it's like, you know, kids need that reminder for sure.
All right. Well, we appreciate your input as a counselor. Lots of great information. But you mentioned your two children who have been raised in this digital age, like probably their whole life. They have been mm-hmm. having digital devices around them. So what are some ways you've seen that work well with your children outside of school?
Yeah, I mean, they, it's funny, they're very different in how they have like approached digital things and world. Like they're just different kids. My daughter, who's the older one, it is definitely a connector for her. It is how she's stayed in touch with friends. I mean, she is a super social kid, always has been. So for her, having a device, getting a phone, like all of those things were about connecting with friends and staying connected with friends. Whereas my son is more like he's a gamer. So he likes video. He likes it more for like the entertainment side. And also has really got into like, it's kind of a career path he's heading down. Like he wants to go into coding and that stuff. So it's just, they've kind of taken different, like, and he could care less about social media. Like he, I don't even know, he doesn't even have it. I never had to like worry about that as like a high schooler. You know, it was really helpful for my daughter that, and both of them actually, I mean, they were 15 and 17 when COVID happened. Mm-hmm. And those were tough ages for them to all of a sudden be stuck at home with their parents, mm-hmm. like not being able to go anywhere. And it's like, I always said, I felt so bad for people with the young kids when you were stuck at home, but like teenagers at home ain't easy, you know? So yeah. It was a godsend, honestly, that my daughter could FaceTime her friends and they would watch movies together. And so there was the connection piece has definitely been a positive for them.
That's incredible. And I think just over the past couple of years, this has felt more, especially with the pandemic, right? It's just virtual spaces have felt more mm-hmm. like challenging spaces, right? And it almost feels like a bit of an epidemic. And so I feel like there's today, especially, there continues to be more tools and resources and a light shining on these particular topics and support as you're, and maybe over COVID too. What were some resources or things that you did to help just from a parent-child perspective?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of challenges for sure. Like I said, I mean, we were definitely winging it, like my husband and I during these ages. I mean, when they were, we were lucky at their age, like when they were in middle school was when they like really, really wanted a device. And when we kind of got comfortable with it. And at that time, like their first phones that they received were like ones that only talked in text. They were like flip phones, which was awesome. Cause it was like, okay, great. You're going to learn some responsibility with this. You can like text with people, but they didn't have access to like the internet all the time, you know, and some of that stuff. So we were lucky to be able to do that. I wouldn't say we had like great resources necessarily, kind of how I feel like we just discuss with parents now. Our biggest, like our way of really equipping them was to just have like really open communication and talked a lot about like a lot of the topics that we've discussed, and we tried to model it. I mean, I think that's a big piece of this with parenting is you can't, how are you going to tell your kids that you don't want them to live on their phones if you're sitting at the dinner table with your phone, or, you know, or you're laying on the couch at night and you're having family movie night, but you're scrolling with your phone, you know? And I want to be very clear that I am not perfect and have done all of those things, but
that's all of us.
But, you know, I think that is one thing that we just like, we kind of had to practice what we were preaching with them. And we also had to be realistic that they're different kids and we couldn't approach them the same way with like the restrictions or the privileges. I mean, they just were different and what they wanted were different and the way they handled technology was different. And we had to be willing to compromise some things that maybe I thought I wouldn't, or things that were important with one, not the other. Because it just, they were very different kids. And I think that was something that surprised me as a parent and was hard to pill to swallow sometimes. But kind of the way we got through it.
Well, and I think that communication piece is huge, and knowing that you are a person they can come talk to. And I just think that that's huge. And sometimes we have to wing it, and that's the best approach because, I mean, like you said, the kids are different and the situations are always going to be different.
For sure. So. And I definitely, at the very beginning of like them getting devices and us, you know, or them having Chromebooks at school and like wanting to get on social media and stuff. I mean, my first instincts were just like, nope, lockdown. You don't get it. No. Yeah. You know? And then I was like, okay, well that doesn't work always because they are going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And so what we need to do is actually talk about this and kind of teach them the right ways, not just restrict it. Because for us, I tried that with my daughter at first when it was like, no, you're only 13. You don't, you know? And then it was like, guess what? She was figuring out ways. Yes. She had her own email address. She could sign up on her own. Like she had a Chromebook at school that I didn't have access to all day. So I had to like change my approach and how I was addressing it with her. Instead of restricting, it was like, let's talk about this. Let's inform you. Let's, you know, have this dialogue versus you're in trouble all the time.
Right. Love that.
Yeah. And that's great insight though, for anybody listening. That's such a great approach, the flexibility, meeting them where they're at, recognizing that kids are resilient and they'll find ways to circumvent us. They're smart, especially smart when it comes to digital.
Yes. Totally. Smarter than I was, and that was the problem.
So just curious, your role as a counselor and a parent's a great perspective, and especially where your children currently are and providing digital support. But if you were given a magic wand or had unlimited money and resources, no limits, what would you want to see in place for children, students, parents? What would be your perspective on that?
I mean, I think kind of there's two pieces to that in my mind. Like one, I would just love to see, and I think, I mean, what you guys are doing, I know that there's different forums and, you know, panels and things like that where you can get kind of the ability to talk to more parents and like for parents to feel like they have someone to reach out to when they need help, when they don't know what to do, when they feel at a loss, because it can feel very isolating and scary and you're like worried you're going to mess up your kid. And, you know, I think we always joke about how like there's no instruction manual for parenting. And I think this is a big piece of that. So I would love to see more in that regard, resources and tools for parents that are accessible and easy and like relatable, you know, not like I said, when I had training, even a lot of it was like brain development. It's like, okay, we know that that's the case. Like, but what do I do about it? You know? I think that would be wonderful. I think the other thing is, and like, I didn't mention this yet, but like one thing that was really, really important to me as a parent, and one thing that I am proud of, was that I wish that there was some way that maybe there's some magical technology device that like, and there probably is, where we did not let our kids until they were like well into high school, like they never got to have their phones in their room at night. Like there was a time and you had to cut it off, because the thing I see that I noticed with my elementary school kids and also my teenagers was like how this stuff can impact their sleep and how mm-hmm. that just impacts every other aspect of their life. So maybe it's just more information resources for parents about that. Maybe there's something we can do to wave that magic wand where all devices turn off at 10 p.m. I don't know, you know.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Something. Because that was a fight in our house for sure, but it was something that we just held really strong on. And that was just, it's sleep and kids. I mean, that, I know, I just, you see it and how it impacts so many things. And that's just the one thing that I wish we could do something about.
Yes. And speaking of like isolating and feeling isolated, I think that that's so true. Some people just feel lost and don't know where to go or what to do. So great advice. All right. Mm-hmm. We have one bonus question for you. If you were to take a break from social media for a few days, no social media, no work, what would you be doing? What are your hobbies outside of work?
Oh, I would be at my lake house and I would be on my boat and I'd be floating in the water.
I love it.
I would
it.
Not have to have a phone anywhere near me.
Lovely. Absolutely lovely.
Yeah. That's my relaxation for
your
sure.
Happy place. Well,
yeah,
we really, really, really appreciate you talking with us today. You shared so many amazing things that I think people will take away. So thank you so much for giving us your time today.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jen. Pleasure to meet.
Awesome.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye. It was a pleasure to talk to Jen and to hear her perspective as an elementary school counselor, as well as a parent, starting with like the school side of things. Just a couple things that stood out is the age of kids bringing devices. So she mentioned lots of fourth and fifth grade kids, but even younger. So it's very eye-opening that they're there. They have them at school a lot of times so they can stay connected.
It's the reality of the situation. She shared, I mean, some really good perspective on that and just some information just really regarding the school. One thing that she said, the school issuing devices, so they have to play a part in this. But then there's the personal side of it too. And I really, really like her approach on the collaborative spirit that she has regarding the school and how they need to chat and communicate with parents. That was a really, really good call out.
Right. Especially since they are able to use them at home and whether they have a device or not, a personal device or not, if they're taking those Chromebooks home, just making sure that communication between home and school is open so that they're using them safely.
Yeah.
It's really, really a team effort.
Yeah. And some parents saying, hey, leave that Chromebook at school. We'll figure out homework a different way. That's interesting to hear.
Yes. So, and then she talked about the like kind of the things that they do, which I thought was interesting. If you are a teacher and you've been in that role for 10 plus years, you haven't been in college, you're really relying on that professional development to learn more about just the fact that it affects their brain. But okay, what do we do about it? So having to create their curriculum to meet the kids' needs and having people in for internet safety lessons and doing those things, I think definitely helps a lot. Every little bit helps.
Yeah, that having the vendors come in with special programs, all of those things contribute and help. I don't know how consistent they are throughout the school year. If, you know, having that consistency or checkpoints throughout the school year obviously will help a great deal. If it's a checkbox, maybe they lose sight of it as from a student, right? You may lose sight of that if it isn't ongoing. But the fact that they have those types of things for both, maybe less for the teacher professional development side of it, but to have those curriculums and vendors come in for the students is pretty cool.
Yeah. And as an educator, we can't control what's happening at home. We hope that parents are talking to their kids and teaching them internet safety. But we can only control what happens at school. So I think that's great that they're putting those things in place.
Absolutely.
She talked about the digital footprint. That's something that has come up a lot with our guests, and it is so huge. And I think that that's a hard thing for kids to grasp at their age in that moment when they want to post something or screenshot something, that once it's out there, it is out there forever. And I think that's just a message that is so important for kids to know.
That was happening in elementary school is kind of mind-blowing to me, that kids are being that, I don't know if it's reckless. I don't know exactly what the example was that she brought up, but it's clear that there's a gap in expectations, level setting, responsibility, accountability of your actions that really needs to be a part of the conversation when these devices are handed over. And as she mentioned, I mean, we kind of already alluded to, it's happening at younger and younger ages, whether, you know, we give it to them for the ability to maybe monitor, the ability to connect with them if they are going to be riding the bus home and maybe home for 30 minutes or so by themselves. It's kind of peace of mind, but there's also kids are curious and they will get into trouble if we allow them to.
And just knowing that someone can take that screenshot or send something that you don't anticipate anybody else seeing it's real. It's reality.
Absolutely.
And then going with that communication of, you know, if you are going to hand your kid the device and they are going to be home for a half hour by themselves, like having the communication of what is expected. And Jen talked a lot about that communication piece and how important that is with her students at school as well as her own kids. And I think that was eye-opening for her too, like that, nope, we're just not going to let you have it. And then wait, like that's going to make the situation worse. We need to, you know, meet the kid where they are and have those conversations with them and teach them so that they can use it appropriately instead of just saying, you can't have it. Set some boundaries, but have that open communication.
Yeah, that great realization, great example and scenario to share for people to just kind of genuinely connect with as a parent and think about those things. It is important. Meet them where they are. Everybody's different. And to be able to have that somewhat of a flexible mindset or the agility as a parent to be creative and crafty and meet them where they are is really critical. And I personally believe that it enhances the trust that you build in that relationship regarding the mentorship that you provide from a parent perspective.
Yes. And winging it, I feel like is kind of comes across as a negative thing, but I really think sometimes we do just have to wing it.
Yeah.
Every situation is different. And I think you just really have to be flexible and look at the situation, look at the child, and figure out the best way to handle it.
Agree. Yeah. As I mentioned plenty of times in season one, my children were really coming up in the era of early social media. So there was a lot of winging it. And there is a lot more that's out there now, but how connected are we to it? It still feels disconnected, and it still feels like, and to hear someone in a professional fashion say that as parents we're still winging it, mm-hmm. is interesting. I mean, just, you know, it's been around a while, but it still feels brand new, just as Jen mentioned, and it's just an interesting take on it.
Yeah, or even situations where she has to talk to her 19-year-old to figure out what the kids at school are doing it. Like,
I love that.
Yeah, that was great. Has her own little advisor.
Yeah, she was great. Great guest.
Great guest. Learned so much. Hopefully you learned something too. We thank you for being here with us. And yeah, thanks to Jen for being here.
Yeah, and thank you, Nick, for your time.
Thank you, Chris, for your time. And remember, in the midst of chaos, there's always a way to find clarity. Have a great day.
Bye.
We are growing and would love your feedback. Please rate us and share your thoughts or any topics you would be interested in us covering in the future. Are you or someone you know interested in being a guest on the podcast? Visit us at chaoticdigitalworld.com.
One way to help support the show is by adding a new resource to your library. Order a copy of A Parent's Guide, Keeping Your Children Safe in a Chaotic Digital World today on Amazon. Follow us on all social media platforms, and don't forget to subscribe to keep updated with new episodes and bonus content. As always, thank you for listening.
This episode of Chaotic Digital World is brought to you in part by Next Steps, Inc. Next Steps, a software created for schools or organizations to transform the way we think about attendance management. Did you know? When an institution or organization uses 5 minutes per day for 6 sessions, that's equivalent to 15 wasted hours per month. And if there's an emergency evacuation, emergency personnel have to go in and search for those who may be hiding. We've solved those problems and more. At Next Steps, you can say goodbye to manual attendance and hello to efficiency and productivity. Our software automates the entire process, saving you time and resources. Visit us on our website at next-stepsinc.com to book a demo and learn more. We're waiting to speak with you.